And a lot of people, this is not conservative or liberal, a lot of just people who enjoy freedom are realizing this is not something that is okay. You know, you shouldn't need to show a mark or a sign to engage in trade or commerce or get an education. So even the people who are vaccinated, a lot of them aren't, you know, they aren't approving of these type of policies.
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here with The New American. Welcome to Conversations That Matter. If you're joining us by video or by radio, we appreciate you tuning in. We are with a very special guest today, attorney Ryan McClain. He's the lead attorney for a wonderful organization, the Family Freedom Endeavor. They are focused on litigating in areas, especially involving health and choice, that involve parents and families. And they've seen a lot of success so far. Ryan, thank you for joining us. And tell us about, I understand you guys have already helped 1,000 individuals dealing with religious exemptions for COVID-19 injections and other issues, and you've even filed a few federal lawsuits. Tell us about the work you guys are doing to protect individual choice in education here.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Alex. Vincent Delaney back in late May started the group called the Family Freedom Endeavor. He had had some previous experience in Massachusetts, fighting the Governor Baker's flu mandate, and got nearly 11,000 people on board filing a lawsuit. The governor ended up with rescinding, withdrawing his flu vaccination mandate. I had sort of joined the team in late May. From there we just sort of hit the ground running. We started to take on the college vaccination mandate issue. A number of colleges started to test the waters. I know one employer in Houston, Texas, the hospital, everybody knows the Houston hospital case, started to try to test the waters with mandating the vaccine, seeing what they could do. So we started taking that issue on. It was something like over 66 colleges across the country, 17 states. People were reaching out just from anything ranging. We had to create an intake system. There were so many people ranging from just general advice to just assistance with, religious exemptions and medical exemptions, all the way down to, actual representation. We sent some, correspondence to the schools. We got some public records requests that we did on their behalf. And we helped hundreds of people, with obtaining religious exemptions. And then we filed two federal lawsuits on the mandate itself.
So these religious exemptions, is that available to everyone? I read that one of the Supreme Court justices, if I'm not mistaken, it was Amy Coney Barrett, had kind of refused to hear a case involving religious exemptions in some university. Are these state law cases, federal law? Is there some kind of federal protection? Or does that fall under the First Amendment? What's the legal argument behind a religious exemption?
Right. Yeah, this is actually a very difficult fight. So I believe there's six states now that don't allow for religious exemptions to school vaccination mandates. And this gets kind of confusing. So she turned the case down. We don't know why. She didn't actually provide any written opinion, didn't involve any of the other justices, and didn't even wait for Indiana University to file a response. Now, I've heard rumors, I read the Seventh Circuit opinion. Before it got to her, it went through the Seventh Circuit, and they said only one of the eight Indiana students didn't have a religious exemption available to them. Most states provide religious exemptions to these vaccine mandates. Part of the problem you're running into is they're being scrutinized a lot more because no states are mandating them as part of school vaccines. It's only the colleges that are going ahead and mandating the COVID vaccine. So the legislatures not a single legislature is mandated that school children or college students take this vaccine. It's all been the schools themselves. So, some of them are like Connecticut, the state doesn't allow for a religious exemption to the mandatory vaccines given by the legislature or mandated by the legislature. Connecticut did some odd non-medical exemption where they accepted religious exemptions, but it's usually a state by state. Federal law is not on our side necessarily with respect to religious exemptions to vaccination mandates.
Wow. So under existing law, can companies and universities mandate these vaccines and not give people a way out, especially in some of these states? And also, is there any liability issues? I've seen a lot of these kind of threatening letters from people like, hey, if you mandate a vaccine, I'm going to hold you fully liable if something happens to me. Is there liability for the individuals or the entities doing the mandating?
Right. So, you know, with respect to who can mandate and who can't, it's a lot more difficult for a public entity to mandate it than a private, obviously, because then you have the constitutional grounds. You know, employers, they have to allow for religious exemption because it's, you know, that's protected under federal law for employment, and they have to provide some sort of accommodation, you know, based on your religious practices. But in terms of liability, I mean, the manufacturers are no liability, you know, whatsoever. You know, with respect to employers, it turns kind of into a workman's comp claim unless they, you know, unless somebody mistakenly, you know, applies the vaccine and they do it wrong. If it's just the result from the vaccine itself, you're sort of reduced to a workers' comp claim. And, you know, if it's, you know, a student, it's mandated by a private university, yeah, there'd probably be some liability there. You know, if their exemptions were denied and if they, you know, had to take it, you know, to go to school and face some sort of adverse reaction, very, very difficult to sue the government for some sort of negligence, you know, especially if they were relying on the CDC. So, you're really not going to, I have not been hopeful in terms of, and I've been telling all the clients and potential clients, you're likely not going to be able to sue anybody over this.
Wow. And so you mentioned that with private employers, they essentially have to accommodate your religious exemption. Is that in federal law? Does that apply to everybody across the board? Because I'm not an attorney. I'm not an expert in any of these things, but I've gotten so many calls and emails from frantic people telling me, hey, my job's thinking about mandating this. And who do I call? What do I do? And I've just kind of referred them to different legal groups that I know. But right. Is there some sort of requirement that private employers accommodate genuine religious concerns about these injections?
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, as a matter of federal law, you know, as in, even on the EEO's website, you'll see that they have to make at least an attempt to do, you know, some sort of religious accommodation. There's with anything, there's always exceptions. I mean, sometimes if you're in a setting where they truly can't accommodate you, they can try to give you something else. But for the most part, if you have a sincerely held religious belief, that prevent you from taking the vaccine, they have to honor that as an on the employment context, not necessarily on the school context.
And is that under a specific federal statute? And should people confront their employers with that if their employers say, hey, y'all need to go get this mandated shot?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, again, I'm seeing, like, I think you referenced those forms. We've been really bombarded. So you had groups like us that had just newly formed, were sort of on the ground, just helping at the ground level. You have larger groups that thousands of people are calling them every day. So they're publishing, you know, tools for people on their website that include these things. Hey, you're liable, this, that. You know, with the religious exemptions, you are generally entitled to it. I never take the approach that you need to go in there with your piece of paper saying you have to do what I tell you. Religious exemptions, they're a lot more nuanced than people think, and I always recommend speak to a lawyer first, because if you write something down that in essence ends up being what can be interpreted as a philosophical objection, they may deny it, and you have a harder time later, you know, saying, oh, well, now I need a lawyer to challenge, but, you know, they didn't accept my religious exemption, and you've got to change it, you know? So what may have been well-intentioned at the beginning turns out to be something that could sort of shoot you in the foot.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. So we've only got about a minute and 20 seconds before we go to break here. But when we get back on the other side of the break, I want to ask you about the general direction that things are moving in. Are you hopeful about at least exemptions remaining in place and expanding, or are we going to see those contracting? Also, I know a lot of people are really concerned about what's going on in the military. I mean, everybody's got a friend or a family member that's in the military. In fact, I know quite a few who are very, very concerned about these mandates. They're talking about even discharging them, potentially even dishonorably, maybe less than honorably. And we now have Biden trying to pressure employers to mandate it. One last thing about the private employers. What would you recommend? You know, my job, my boss says, hey, y'all need to go get the vaccine mandate. Do we call you guys? What do we do?
Yeah. I mean, 100%. You need to, whether it's us or somebody else, there's a lot of organizations out there. We're the Family Freedom Endeavor. I know Liberty Council is out there on the front lines. You know, if you have an exemption, assert the exemption first. If you have questions, you've got to talk to a lawyer first. They're really not. They're a lot tighter on this vaccine than they have been with exemptions and others.
Ryan, I know a lot of people are really concerned about this. I'd say over the last few weeks, probably the number one concern that I've been hearing from people that call me or that email me is, what do we do about these mandates when they come down? It sounded, you know, before we went to break, you had some really hopeful things to say, at least when it comes to employers having to accommodate religious exemptions. Now, we have the military as well threatening Americans who are enlisted in the service with potentially a discharge if they refuse to take these injections, especially now that they've supposedly been approved by the FDA. What does that mean? Do U.S. soldiers have the same religious exemption, or are they kind of stuck?
Yeah, so I did read the DOD policy yesterday. So it actually, the Department of Defense pushed it down yesterday. So now it's up to, you know, the commands to then trickle it, you know, down the chain to their individual units, and they're supposed to do it immediately. He expected a prompt, vaccination timeline. You don't necessarily have the same type of religious exemption with military. It's a little bit different. You have sort of a medical and a I think what they call administrative type exemption. I think it includes, you know, sort of a conscientious as well as a religious exemption. And it really is up to the discretion of the commander, you know, in terms of the safety of the unit. It's a lot different. You really, if you're in the military, and then you have the two issues, right, Alex? You got enlisted who, you know, have to either, they have a contract. And then you have the officers. I mean, they can resign their commission. The ones who aren't under contract, they could try to go under inactive ready reserve. But, you know, enlisted are forced with either obeying an order or disobeying an order, or trying to work with somebody if they want to get out, or trying for one of these exemptions. So it is a tough situation. I looked at the stats. I think 50% of the Army was vaccinated. So, it's going to be an interesting situation to see, you know, what happens with it. But specifically from a legal standpoint, any service member really needs to discuss this with their JAG attorney. If you're on active duty, there should be one on your post. If you're not, your state, if you're in the, you know, reserve or the Guard, your state has a JAG unit. And they, you know, you got to talk to an attorney with stuff. When your job or your education or your career is on the line, you know, you really, it's worth, I mean, it's worth, you know, the money to pay or go to one of these groups that doesn't charge. But if you're in the military, JAG is free. So, you really do need to discuss that because, it's a much more nuanced decision. And it's discretion of the commander.
Wow. And so overall, I mean, you've been looking at this now for quite a while. Are you encouraged by the way things are moving? Do you think that conscientious freedoms, religious freedoms, exemptions are going to remain in place? Are people going to be able to wait it out who don't want to participate in this? Or is it just going to keep getting tighter and tighter until there's really no option left? I mean, we've seen now in some states with the vaccine passports, they don't want to let you go into restaurants or gyms. How bad is it going to get? And are they going to force a lot of people to succumb here?
The biggest problem, I think, with this, Alex, is we're seeing with, I don't know what, I don't think it's some mastermind plan. I just think there's a real hole here where we didn't take anything. You know, the emergency use authorization statute doesn't allow somebody like you or me to sue our employer. It's a statute that directly tells the FDA commissioner what to do. So we never really had anything on the books in a lot of these states. And you're seeing a lot of red states scramble to, you know, enact, you know, their legislatures are making laws that say you can't mandate these, you know, they're making informed consent laws. Governors are taking away funding, like Ron DeSantis is a classic example. So we really got caught flat-footed in this area because whereas if you make other policies, they say, well, what authorizes me to do this or can I do this? Here in the vaccine situation, they're saying, well, who can stop us? What is there to stop us from doing this? So in that respect, it's not good, because it's sort of, you know, it's open season, and I don't, you know, we don't seem to be getting the recourse we had hoped we were going to get in the courts. The positive, I would say, is a lot of people are waking up, and a lot of people, this is not conservative or liberal, a lot of just people who enjoy freedom are realizing this is not something that is okay. You know, you shouldn't need to show a mark or a sign to engage in trade or commerce or get an education. So even the people who are vaccinated, a lot of them aren't, you know, they aren't approving of these type of policies. So I think there's positive in that respect. And we may see some change later on. The only negative I would say is, you know, I've never seen so many religious exemptions come across my desk. You know, and the flu vaccines have been around for a while. Hospitals have required that. So, you know, what that's doing, I think, in some of the states, I know Massachusetts is seeking to get it, you know, do away with it. You know, what they're saying is, oh, look at everybody's trying to get a vaccine. I think I saw something on Salon.com about how they're saying right wingers are all trying to get a religious exemption now. You know, that may have an opposite effect where they're going to say, you know, oh, you're all a bunch of fakers or something. And, you know, the legislatures in some of these states may try to remove it. But, you know, no, I mean, I think overall people are starting to see that this is the pressure behind this is not, you know, and again, if you take your vaccine, I don't care, you know, and most people don't, you know, but if you make that decision, that's 100% your health choice to make. And I think most people believe that. I don't think anybody's really approving of the sort of underhandedness about all this.
Yeah. That's what I found in my conversations as well. We've only got about 3 minutes left, but I hear a lot now. I know Fühlmich, this German attorney who's had some really high profile wins over the years. He is now threatening this major, you know, crimes against humanity. They're not getting informed consent. This is a crime of epic proportions. I hear Nuremberg mentioned a lot, you know, the principle that you have to get informed consent from somebody before subjecting them to these kinds of medical treatments. Do you think there may be accountability, especially if something goes wrong? I mean, this shot was not tested for all that long prior to mass administration. Are you hopeful that all these attorneys and others who are working to try to rein all this in will find success?
I'm always hopeful they're going to find success. You know, I've been, you know, pondering with my friends who talk about the FDA approval. I'll ask you, did you think the FDA had a choice? We just vaccinated 500 million people. Do you think they had a choice as to whether, what were they going to do? Say, hold the phone. This thing's not safe.
Yeah. That'd be kind of awkward. Huh?
Right. So am I hopeful that, you know, if there is malfeasance going on, am I hopeful that always, you know, I really think people, it's on us, man. You know, I'm seeing more and more when faced with showing people the actual reality, people in power are instead choosing to sort of hold this thing together and try to protect this institution, you know, rather than just expose the ugly truth. So I really think it's going to have to come from us.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, you heard Ryan here. You as an individual need to take responsibility. This is it's going to be on you. Ryan, in the last couple of minutes that we have left, give us some hope, some words of wisdom, and tell us how people can find the Family Freedom Endeavor. How do people get in touch with you guys, and how do people support you?
Thanks, Alex. So if you just, familyfreedomendeavor.com is our website. We're very active on our Facebook page. It's a platform that we're primarily using, Family Freedom Endeavor. On that, we're using GiveSendGo as our platform, you know, as a GoFundMe alternative. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of GoFundMe. I know the board of directors isn't as well. So GiveSendGo.com/Family Freedom Endeavor is where you can give. I do want to give positive, you know, as much as this battle. Sometimes you get into the weeds, Alex, and you get cynical about things. You're seeing a lot more people go to these school board meetings and make change. You're seeing a lot more people are fed up. You got to take a stand. Now's the time, you know. And we're seeing more and more of that. And I think that should hopefully encourage some of the people who aren't, you know, active fighters. They've got friends in the fight, you know.
Yeah, excellent. Well, Ryan, we really want to thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for the successes that you've had for defending the rights of individuals to make their own medical decisions rather than have them imposed on them by government and or employers. Folks, that or school educational institutions. Folks, that was Ryan McLean with the Family Freedom Endeavor. You can find them on Facebook and online. They're doing some very, very important work. I'm Alex Newman. You've been watching or listening to Conversations That Matter. We sure appreciate you tuning in. Go back and listen to the archives. We've talked to a lot of attorneys and medical doctors about these issues, and please share it out. Thanks, everybody, and God bless.